Going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 7 this evening. Deuteronomy chapter 7, and in just a moment we're going to read beginning in verse 9. Something to praise God for is we don't really see leprosy in this country, but we've probably heard about it and the damage that it can do. And we realize that for somebody who would be dealing with leprosy, to say that their life would be made unpleasant because of it would be an understatement. But apart from the physical pain and deformations and the lack of comfort that comes with the disease, one of the most unpleasant things in my mind would probably be having to separate from people. And in the Old Testament, that was a requirement. In Leviticus 13 and verse 45, we read, "As for the leper who has the infection, his clothes shall be torn, and the hair of his head shall be uncovered, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean,' and he shall remain unclean all the days during which he has the infection. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." Which, if you had a true leprosy, which doesn't just go away, would probably mean all the days of your life. And that's such a sad thing to think about. He shall live alone, and again, possibly all the days of their life. Now, obviously, there may be other lepers that are living with them, but they would have to be separate from the community. Their family can't come and pay them a visit. They can't get near the tabernacle or the temple. They can't make offerings to God. It's just sad to think about. Sounds like a lonely life. But this is what I want to read in Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9. We read, Know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love Him and who keep His commandments. But He repays those who hate Him to their faces to destroy them. He will not delay with him who hates Him. He will repay him to his face. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I am commanding you today to do them. Then it shall come about, because you listen to these judgments and keep them and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you His covenant and His loving kindness which He swore to your forefathers. He will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, your grain and your wine and your oil, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock, in the land which He swore to your forefathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There will be no male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And here's in verse 15, the Lord will remove from you all sickness. He will not put on you any of the harmful diseases of Egypt which you have known, but He will lay them on all who hate you. The conclusion that I draw, if we're taking what God is saying through Moses here at face value, is that if Israel would have truly striven to be God's people, then there would have been no lepers. There would have been no sickness. And a truth that we can draw from that is we could rightly say, at least in regards to this, no one would be forced to dwell alone. If people are seeking to please God, if the people were seeking to please God, then they would not be alone. And there's a big spiritual truth in that. Israel at this point was God's physical people, but they were set apart to be holy. They were the first recipients of the call that we know so well that Peter talks about, and we read in Leviticus 11 and verse 45, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." And that does mean in devotion to Him and in action to Him and dedication to being the people that He calls Him to be. But also something that we know about God is that He's without blemish. And that's part of what goes into making Him holy. And the things that were given to Him as holy were also without blemish too. The holy sacrifices had to be animals without blemish. The holy things of the tabernacle had to be according to the pattern. And so, what we know is that it's a great blessing to be God's people, and that He did offer these blessings to His people, and it's also a picture, a type of the promised land to come, even for us who are God's true Israel today. But I also wonder if something that goes into this is that if Israel pursued being God's people, His holy people, then He would cleanse them and make them without blemish and holy in that regard. Now, this healing was a blessing for the physical Israel, but we who are Christians now today are part of the spiritual Israel. We read in Philippians 3 and verse 3, "For we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh." God does heal our infirmities. He does hear our prayers. He does bless us in that regard. But also, we don't have perfect health in this life, and we won't until we're done with this life. But if we do pursue being His people, then He makes us spotless and without blemish in an even greater way than He made His people, than He offered to make His people back then. 1 John 1 in verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. But not only do we have that cleansing that we have through Christ, if one is a child of God, they are never alone. And obviously God is always there, and He always sees everybody, but it's different from the way that He is always there for His people and those who strive to be His people. Something that we read in Psalm 34 in verse 15 is, "The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears are open to their cries. But the face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off memory of them from the earth." Of course, we know what Jesus said to His disciples in Matthew 28 and verse 20. He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And He also said in John 14 and verse 23, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." That sounds to me like a far cry from being alone. And that's what God's people have. We are not alone. And that's comforting in a lot of ways. When we face loss, or when we face sickness, or when we feel alone in this life, we have His promises to hold on to, that He is there for us. And still in Psalm 34, just continuing on for a few verses, in verse 17, we read, "The righteous cry, and the Lord hears, and He delivers them out of their troubles." We read in verse 18 that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and He saves those who are crushed in spirit. That sounds like a life that's alone, and yet God is near to us when we are that way. And when we are crushed in spirit, it's a great blessing of comfort to know that the Lord is always there and that He's always near to His people. But what is also a blessing is not just the comfort that we get from that, but also the encouragement to our faith that we get from that. I don't know about you, but I feel like it's harder to have faith when I feel like I'm alone, or if I feel like I have to rely on myself. Maybe it's not that we lack faith in God or faith in His power, but maybe we lack faith in His power through us or for us, or maybe we just don't even think about it. We just seem to lack faith, or I do at least. And I thought about the example of Peter. You know, I don't believe that Peter doubted the power of Christ, and that Peter had a lot of confidence when he had Christ by his side. When Christ was with him, he cut off the ear of Malchus. He's ready to fight to the death there. But when he was on his own, in a sense, he found it harder to admit that he was with Christ. And in fact, he didn't. We read in Luke 22 and verse 60, "But Peter said, 'Man, I don't even know what you're talking about.' Immediately, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed." And in verse 62, "He went out and he wept bitterly." There are many moments in our life where we're given a chance to declare that we are with Christ. But to do so requires faith. And that, you know, that may be a situation in which Peter was in, where we're actually speaking with someone and they're asking if we're a Christian, and it would be easier not to be. But, you know, there are other times as well. Times when I know that I need to forgive, or times when I feel my anger getting the best of me, or times when I'm called to be the husband that I be, or the father that I need to be, and my shortcomings are making it difficult. The question is still there, and the question still stands: are you with Christ? Are you a disciple of Christ? And I look at myself, and I look at my weaknesses, and I look at my emotions, and I look at me alone, and I say, I can't. Or maybe I don't even say that. Maybe I just don't. And I grudge, or I lash out, or I fail, or whatever it is, and I end up a lot like Peter, who denied his Lord. Although I realize that it's to a different degree, I just end up ashamed in the end. Wouldn't it be different if we weren't alone? Wouldn't it be different if it was not our strength alone? Wouldn't it be different if we had somebody else with us? And if we had somebody with us who could give us wisdom if we asked for it? James 1 and verse 5, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." Wouldn't it be different if we had somebody else with us who could help us to escape temptation when we feel like we're tempted. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Wouldn't it be different if we had someone with us even to the end of the age? Will God do? Will Christ do? Because that's who's available to us. We're not alone. And we are going to go through tests of our faith. And you know what? We're expected to overcome those. In fact, after we're told about the blessings of eternity in Revelation, we read this in chapter 21 and verse 7. He who overcomes will inherit these things. And I will be his God and he will be my son. But we are not expected to do it alone. And in fact, it's the complete opposite. Jesus saying that he will be with his disciples to the end of the age is so encouraging, but it's also a reminder that we need him. That is why he is there. What is the victory that overcomes the world? Is it our own power? Is it our own strength? Is it our own ability? No, it's faith in his. We read in Psalm 33 and verse 16, the king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. A horse is false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart rejoices in him because we trust in his holy name. And he will always be there to answer our call to him in faith. We are not alone, and that's great. You know, even two people can do so much more than one. What kind of change can the help of God make in our lives if we seek him in faith to do so? Holiness. Holiness is the answer to that. There are many great benefits to being God's people. So many. Innumerable amount of benefits. But one of the greatest of which is that he can help us to be what he calls us to be. And we sang about that just a little bit ago. He can help us to be what he calls us to be, and he calls us to be such great, great things. He calls us to be holy, and he can help us to be that. And he will always be there for us to help us to do so. If you this evening are ready to turn to this God who can make you holy, who can change your life, who can help you to have hope to look forward to, please turn your life over to him tonight. Please come forward, be baptized in him. Or if you need any prayers in the congregation, please come forward while we stand and as we sing.